You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am HS7. The entire crew is here, minus one. Homie Red Dog is taking care of some personal business, so salute to him. My man Jay Moore is in the building with the Fresh Knicks joint. Looking like Walt Clyde Frazier over there. What's going on, man?
I don't know if I could fill the illustrious and well-tailored shoes of one Walt Clyde Frazier, but he is also a Saluki. He went to SIU Carbondale, so shout out to him.
No game for me? You don't have any game? Or?
I mean, you know, if you just mention Walt Frazier's name, you should have all the game you need.
Fair enough. I'll take that. Man, longevity. How are you, sir?
Doing all right, Michael. I can hear myself this week.
It's great. Yeah, how's that feel?
It feels good.
Yeah? Better? A lot better, huh?
Yeah, a lot better to know that when I'm speaking, that people can hear me. So, yeah, there's that.
Shout out to the chat for keeping us on point when they can't hear us.
Yeah, for sure. Shouts to the Govenator because he's the one that actually told us. Yeah. Otherwise, we would have been halfway through an episode with janky sound.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, salute to him. My man DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
How's everything?
Everything is everything.
Everything.
In the words of Lauryn Hill.
There we go.
Indeed.
Good to see you as always, brother. Yeah, let me make sure I get my chat pulled up so I can going on with them. I usually have it pulled up. Yep. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Episode 301.
That's how you gonna mark it. Yep. I ain't gonna talk about what we were watching.
yeah, please don't.
Yeah, I'm not gonna even do that.
Overt.
Let's talk about virtual rappers. I didn't even know this was a thing, and apparently it is. So Capitol Records signed a virtual rapper named FN Mecca, who's powered, obviously, by artificial intelligence, what they say. But I'm sure there's a voice behind it. I didn't see the person or...
The white guy.
Oh, that's even better. And I got scooped because I saw this. I said, yeah, this is going to be something we can really talk about, and we still can, but now there's an article saying today... that the virtual rapper got dropped. So I guess it's a wrap for this experiment. That was kind of fast.
No pun intended.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. J-Bone, what do you think about this concept of virtual rappers? And we've heard about the metaverse and all this other stuff. When I saw this, I laughed out loud. What was your initial reaction when you saw that there was a virtual rapper that was signed to a major label?
I said, this is a beta test for something that's going to go live very, very soon. They made some mistakes this time around, and they're going to fix the mistakes next time around. And, you know, here you have an artist that you don't have to pay. You don't have to worry about going to jail, getting caught up in a hotel room with somebody you ain't supposed to be with.
Okay.
And you get to control the narrative and, you know.
Just have the white guy go record.
You know, when I heard, what is the virtual FN what? FN?
His name was FN Mecca. You know, they had to put a... Mm-hmm. Some type of acronym or something in the beginning.
Yeah, what does the FN stand for?
I have no fake idea.
N-word.
It's probably accurate.
Probably what it was. Probably what. And then you put Mecca in there. I'm like, come on now.
what you mean, Jay Moore?
I'm sorry, but you know.
What was the Mecca? Where were they going with that?
And then you know where they were going. They were trying to maybe that give it a little credibility and 100%. Give it some worldwide appeal. And then you see it basically looks like, so a 6ix9ine virtual clone. I mean, and it's kind of rapping, like, you know, when I saw it, I was like, man, if there's any real, you know, virtual world out here, I would just hope that Master Chief from Halo come and, yep. and shoot him. But now, mind you, I'm talking about a fake person, you know, somebody in the match. So like, I'm not advocating for violence in the real world. But don't think they're not going to try to get this off again. You know, Capitol washed their hands of it, you know, quickly, just because they, you know, there was somebody who was probably just looking at numbers and not cultural impact and not looking at how this may actually offend people in some sort of way. And they're like, okay, let's go. Let's sign this virtual rapper and it'll be a real thing that we can talk about and we can put it on our website and tweet about it. And then you realize, like, oh, this is not going the way we wanted. So let's go ahead and wash our hands of it.
I never thought about the part that where you spoke to stay out of trouble. We don't have to worry about this. We don't have to Yeah, you know, rappers dying by every other day at this point is what it feels like.
As long as the hard drive doesn't crash, you got a rapper.
The thing about it is, at the end of the day, this is something that the consumer absolutely controls.
Yeah.
There's no way you're about to feed me an artificially intelligent artist and I'm going to rock out to him and be spending money and going to concerts to see something portrayed on a movie screen or whatever.
Projector or
something. I'm not going for that. That's just lazy. And unfortunately, like you said, this is a beta test. It's not going to be the first or the last time that it happens. But this is definitely something that the consumer and fan has to control and has to decide and say, we ain't going for that. But the thing about it, what they'll end up doing is they'll use that artificial intelligence and then just find somebody to rap the verses themselves. That's how they'll try to step in and counterplay it, because they're not paying somebody to write the verses. It's being written by artificial intelligence. So that eliminates the publishing rights to someone like that. You know what I'm saying?
Couldn't you see in this era, let's say that this is a beta test and they get all the bugs out, couldn't you see in today's times people flocking out to watch a huge screen with said person on it and vibing out to it?
I can see it in the metaverse. Like if you're putting on the virtual reality helmet or whatever,
and you go
there,
gotcha.
But not personally
in
going to an arena,
yeah,
to see a virtual reality image on a screen. I'm not going for that.
No, I'm not going either. I'm just
you're not going.
Yeah, I'm talking about just the grand scheme.
I don't think people with good common sense will be going either.
But the people who have been sort of eased into this by seeing a Travis Scott concert in Fortnite, you know, to where this is not to where us who have actually gone to concerts, and this makes plenty of sense. It's kind of like when I saw my little cousins watching YouTube, watching people play video games. Like they're watching people playing Goat Simulator and Minecraft.
Dang.
And
Goat
like,
Simulator's funny.
It is. But I was like, in my mind, it doesn't make any sense. But then like, you know, when you talk to a kid, it was like, but you watch people play football on TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to them, it's the same thing.
But it's still in a video game sense though.
Exactly.
Because they were watching it while playing a video game. And Travis Scott is a real human.
Right.
So he had a skin that's in a video game.
But that's the
gateway
drug.
So that's kind of cool to see that.
To what they're trying to push on us,
man,
now.
We
wouldn't buy it. But if you were
my
8
kids,
o'clock
my kids
watching.
Ain't going to
if
no
you,
concert,
I'm sorry, 8 o'clock. If you were 8 years old or 10 or 12 or whatever, and you watched the Travis Scott concert in Fortnite, and they say virtual rapper X or whatever, he's going to be performing next week in Warzone or whatever it is, the kids Roblox or whatever. They're going to be like, this is going to be their concert experience.
Well, I'm not very excited to see Parappa the Rapper.
If they brought Parappa the Rapper back, I'm going.
I ain't going.
Punch. It's all in your mind.
I ain't going to see no virtual reality artists.
I don't think any. That's the reason I asked, is because it's not that far-fetched. The thinking isn't that far-fetched.
It's not. It's literally an episode from Black Mirror. That's what it's playing out to
be. That was literally what I have pulled up here. It's
really?
The Waldo moment.
Yeah, this is... Nah, I'm not going for this, man.
So that was going to be what I was going to say. It's absolutely going to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely going to be a big thing. And even when you think about the Black Mirror episode, it's somebody controlling it. So it's still a person behind it.
Right.
And even in this rapper, this effing mecha person, it's still a person behind it.
Right.
Technically. So we're going to see a whole lot more of this type of thing, I think, in the near future.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot more.
And I think
I'm not participating.
And there's a whole big market for it. I bet you probably will, though. I mean, you have a daughter. I feel like it's going to be part of the culture. I feel like this type of metaverse type of persona is going to be part of like what it's going to be like in the next 5 to 10 years.
When I think about his daughter, to your point, who knows how far it will be advanced with that time frame that you're talking about. So if you're Jay Moore used his cousin's examples of being around, I think he said 8 years old. You know, as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, when you're finding out about hip hop and, you know, when we were kids, we knew how impressionable we were when we watched any of the older shows, Rap City or Video Soul or whatever. Like we used to watch those and like, this is great. So these kids now, the things that they see now is time. It's times 10. It's on the tablet. It's on the cell phone. It's on this. It's on that. So who knows what it's going to be, you know, and it'll be the norm to them.
Well, it's also like, what is reality?
Right.
Right.
You know, right.
Like what is, I mean, 20 years ago, we weren't I mean, some of us were, but not. It wasn't normal for a lot of people to be playing even video games online against other. It wasn't a regular thing.
No,
you know what I mean. And then
people
didn't
have access to it.
You know, it became now. Like I always found it interesting when people are like, yeah, you know, I'd talk to people about being a gamer, and
yeah.
I come from an era when in the early 2000s when I was a legit gamer. Like, I mean, I had a computer for it. I played it. You know, like, oh, I played first-person shooters. Like,
you would have got some bread if it was like it is now.
Right,
back
right.
Then.
So back then, right. And then people are like, yeah, I'm a gamer. And be like, oh, yeah, what do you play? Like, well, I got a PlayStation. I'm like, okay, nah, well, that's not.
That's cool. But
that's not what I was speaking about. But right. So, I mean, even when I saw like that, I mean, it's the same thing. It's whatever, right? But it's my point is that it's like it's evolving. You know what I mean? And it's going to continue to evolve. And I think that it's, who knows, man? I don't know. Maybe it'll be cool. Maybe it won't. To Terry's point, I feel like what you're getting at and what you guys are both getting at is like, I'm not going to go buy a ticket to go see this person perform. You know, like, and I get that. But as far as like it being like in our faces everywhere and that's like being able to not avoid it, I don't think it's even a possible to avoid
that's
it.
That's where I'm at.
You know what
that's
it's going to do too is it's going to eliminate, while the record label is trying to make a statement, by signing these artists, it ended up eliminating them too because
cuts the middleman out.
Yeah,
a little bit.
What would you need a record label for when you can just hire a video game developer to design these people? You know what I'm saying? And come in and make the music. Well, whoever's making the music on their end,
right,
just goes directly to a video game distributor and
it'll
as
take
you put
it,
you
it'll
in a video
take care
game,
of itself.
Yeah, it takes care of itself, but yeah. I can't see it. I'm not going, man.
Well, you know, we are, you know, there was one point, Jim and the Holograms really seemed like fantasy.
Yeah.
But now, basically, we're this close to them creating a computer that, like, the synergy was that created the whole image of that group. And some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You have to be of a certain age. And they tried to.
I didn't really even watch Jim.
They
so
tried
I don't
to
know
reboot
the
it. They tried to reboot Jim and the Hologram. They tried because they tried to make all the Hasbro movies, mm-hmm. all the Hasbro properties movies, the G.I. Joe, Transformers, Battleship, whatever. But they tried to do Jim and the Holograms. It didn't work. But basically, it was a computer that turned this regular girl into this supercomputer. You know, the supercomputer turned into a megastar. We could through her and none of it was real.
Max Headroom,
you know. And so at one point that was fantasy.
Yeah.
But we're at a point in 2022 going into 2023, because the year is going
to
go
him.
By just like that.
Yeah. Talk to,
to where we're going to see virtual superstars.
Yeah, I mean, we've had virtual superstars. Max Headroom was one of them. You know, he had a whole TV show.
He
was based off of a person.
I remember he had an endorsement with Coca-Cola. Like they
had an
yeah.
endorsement with Coca-Cola.
But y'all,
yeah.
y'all talked about the rollouts and the tests, you know, the first runs. Even with the holograms, you know what I'm saying? When they tried that, I thought who they tried with?
Tupac.
ODB, Easy.
The
Pop.
Newest one is
Biggie.
They
did Michael Jackson.
They made a Biggie one that's supposed to be an NFT. Whitney Houston had a show. Where she's a hologram, I think
I'm
in
not,
Vegas.
I'm not
I think all
cap.
Of this is
I'm
creepy.
Not gonna
I don't
cap.
Like
I saw
any
the Biggie.
Of it.
I saw the Biggie.
I hated it.
That yeah. weird creeped me. I can't. I stopped looking at it. I didn't even want to look at it.
I don't want no parts of none of that stuff, man.
I can imagine his children, man. Like, I'm cool. I'm seeing
his
that.
Children
I'm
got
cool.
enough problems.
Right.
I don't know. Right. The stuff's kind of cool to me. I mean,
don't do that.
I mean, not the hologram stuff. I think that's just corny. I don't mm-hmm. know. But like, I don't know. Like, just the idea of. The idea of a world that can exist where you can plug yourself into it and it's kind of like lives, kind of like that movie.
I can dig it, like on the Met, like I was saying, like the VR headset. I can see it being on the VR headset.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's even like a video game. I mean,
for sure,
you can be in a video game and that's an artist in a video game, but like just being a for real artist,
yeah,
and people are paying money and stuff to see this person's emulating. People through artificial intelligence. I mean, I don't know, man.
It's different.
It's bothersome.
It's definitely generational because, you know, we obviously are of a certain age, but like I said earlier, who knows what it's going to be as they continue to advance it 5-10 years from now, like Lone said. We just don't know. But
put it past. I mean, it's kind of exciting, but at the same time, it's kind of depressing, you know, because it's like...
Right.
I mean, it's already super hard out here for artists, so now you got to compete with stuff that doesn't even exist. There's that.
But it should actually to give an actual artist an advantage, too, though. There's some pros and cons behind here.
Maybe. Who knows?
We'll see.
Well,
It's coming. Yeah, so get prepared.
Yeah. I keep looking at this picture laughing about what the rapper looked like and how they had him set up. One of y'all mentioned 6ix9ine. That's exactly
yeah
what direction they were trying to go in.
They're like, yeah, what we can
getting beat by a police officer.
Yeah,
in the virtual world.
Yeah, we can create a 6ix9ine that we know won't go to jail or snitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we don't have to worry about. You said it with that. All right, man, let's go ahead and jump into our next topic. So
topic.
Let's talk about creatives and consumption of music. And I wanted to try this one out because we've talked about one side, but I don't think we've talked about the other side. And I'm going to throw out an example just to set it up. Jay Moore, you talk about, I listen to records because I want to see what I think may work in the club, right?
That is part of what I, you know, when I click on Tidal
right
at midnight and I see what's going to be new, part of it is, yeah, I do see what's there. Now, when I get the Danger Mouse record,
I'm
listening to that for my own personal.
I'm with you, but what I'm saying is when you, there are times that you actually go into looking and listening to music for that,
I'll go through, like, somebody like Megan Thee Stallion. When her album came out, I was like,
all right, cool. So, Lone, you and I have talked about, from a producer standpoint, uh-huh, how we've grown accustomed to hearing things that, you know, and listening to music a certain way that just can't be turned off, right? We've had that conversation.
Right.
Right? So my question is, as a creative, can you detach yourself from your craft and just listen to music freely? And the reason I'm asking is because, do you feel like you're missing out on something? Because to me, when I listen to music, I cannot shake listening to the mix, how things are panned, the sequencing, hook comes in first, the bridge, the blah, 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 blah. I just can't turn it off. Sometimes I wish I could and just, you know, be a consumer and ride out, but it's hard to do that. So that's the question I'm posing. Lone, I'll come to you first because we've talked about this a lot as a producer, but do you feel like you're missing out on something that, since you can't detach from that? Because we've had this conversation. I know it's hard. It's hard for me.
Yeah, I feel like I've answered this. I feel like we have talked about this, or at least I feel like I have, in the sense that I feel like it's even worse for me, and I'm not even trying to put this into like a comparable type of, you know, like compare to anybody else or anything else. I mean, coming from a background of not only making music, but also like listening and judging people's music for over a decade, essentially, there's a certain level of enjoyment that just gets lost when you have to constantly pick through stuff and try to determine what you want to push to the forefront. Like, who do you want to co-sign, or who do you want to, what type of artist do you want to push to the forefront? I mean, there was a time 10 years ago, I used to get 100 emails a day from people. Mm-hmm. And out of those 100 emails, maybe two were decent. Decent.
No, I know. No, trust me. I know. I remember.
And so that alone in itself, it kind of automatically turned my ear into I have a very particular ear into how I listen to things. So for that example, yes, I listen to things a lot differently than most people listen to things. Add on the fact that I also have this creative side to me where I do produce and I do artist and I do make stuff and I do teach the stuff too and all these things.
That part.
It makes it even so much more. Like if you ask me, and if like somebody comes up to me and asks me a question about their music, I hope they're ready for a dissertation.
Mm. That's the part,
because
that's where I'm trying to get to.
I will listen to something that I like and I will break it down so you think that I don't like it. But it's just the way that it is, because I'm listening to it not only from an angle of, is it enjoyable, but also like, what can you do to potentially be better so that you catch the 2% of people that listen to it for this reason, or the 3% of people that listen to it for this reason, or the 5% of engineers that are not going to like the way this kick sounds, and you know, all this other stuff.
I guess my thing is, with that being said, based on what you're saying, do you ever think about being able to listen to records without all that? And just vibe out and not even think about that.
Yeah, so I can only do that to music that I don't participate in.
Okay, fair enough.
So for example, my go-tos are like Radiohead. I'll listen to Radiohead. That's one of my favorite bands ever. I like to listen to them. I can't do what Tom York does. Like, I can't sing like him. He's absolutely amazing. Their musicianship is great. So from that aspect, what I'm saying is, like, I can only do that for music that I don't do.
That's what I'm looking for.
You know, but if I participate in it, then I'm always like comparing it and I'm looking at it like, maybe I can, you know, it's twofold. It's like, one, can I create it? And two, do I want to try to create it? And also, like, or I'm critiquing it. So like, I know you're asking me from one angle, but I can't answer this question without it being from a twofold angle of I reviewed music for so long. And I know Terry understands this. It's like, and you guys, I mean, I'm sure everybody understands it to a degree, but it's really hard to explain what it's like to like legitimately have to critique people's art every day. I mean, there was a time we were sharing like 12 posts a day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's, that's a lot of stuff to consume and try to like have a reasonable voice to. And to me, that's been the hardest part. It's been, to me, that has been harder to do than the creative side of it, is step away from that. Like, it almost ruined music for me, if I'm being honest.
You're answering my question, especially with the twofold part. I think that's perfect. That's what I was looking for. Terry, what do you think? Because you're a DJ, you're in different environments, and I know you listen to records. Your collection is crazy. I've seen your laptop. I've seen you rock. I know how you get down. You can put Terry anywhere, and he's going to be able to adjust as a DJ. Like, that's a gift. That's a skill. But do you ever catch yourself just listening, you know, to records just to vibe out to, without thinking about some of the things that Jay Moore talked about or some of the things Lone talked about? Because you were a part of that submission process as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat, whereas sometimes it's hard for me to listen to stuff. A lot of times I ride in silence.
Right.
Just because at one point the noise, well, music wasn't as, it didn't sound like noise at one point. And then in some instances it becomes noise. It doesn't sound inviting. I'm not interested. You can almost listen to a song within 20, 30 seconds and it's like, I'm cool.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? And it's the only thing that probably does it for me is more eclectic type stuff, man. Like Lone said, stuff that you're not necessarily a part of. I mean, I don't make music, essentially. I DJ, but
you're around it a lot.
I'm around it a lot. But there's certain tones that stand out to me and sound better to me and are more inviting, and that would be the more eclectic and R&B soul side of things versus the offerings that I've been left with. And it's actually, I kind of wish we were still going through submissions a little bit, because was able to find a lot of gems that way.
A lot.
Whereas now, so there's a lot of things that can go past and over your head that you weren't around for, and you just missed that boat as far as being here. I mean, you can always catch up. But in the same token, if nothing is making you enthusiastic or excited about music,
right,
I just ride with the sound completely off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just solved that, and I'll come back to it whenever I'm ready. It's almost like sometimes I have to prepare myself to listen to music.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's, you know,
it's, I'm with you.
You know, because it's this is the hard thing, because when people would, yeah, I know you guys got submissions through, you know, the blog and through the site, and, you know, I get people wanting to bring me music because they want their music played out.
Right.
You know,
talk about
or
that.
Even when I was working in radio, just for that little bit of time, you know, that I was, you know, working in radio. And I said, my advice every time was, don't ask me if I like it.
Yeah.
Ask me if I think it'll work. Because if you ask me if I like it, I'll be like, no, I don't like it at all. But then if you ask me, do you think it'll work? I'll be like, oh, this is a hit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
this is going to go in the club.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes you have to know the right questions to ask when you are asking your music to be critiqued.
Yeah.
It does become sometimes a chore, because I was like, you know, there's sometimes I'll listen to records that I would ordinarily never have any interest in.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, I got to see for what I do. I got to see what the single is. I got to see what might move the people on a Friday or Saturday night. You know, once again, this is not about what I enjoyed listening to.
Right, right.
You know, and that's the hard part, to where like almost where listening to music becomes a chore. And that's the hard, that's why.
Well, it's a job.
It's a, yeah. And it's almost like why I wind up listening to the same records over and over, because I know I'm going
to. Familiar.
Like, I know if I go.
You've already attached yourself to them.
I know if I go
back.
You
heard them in a good place.
Yeah, I know if I go back and listen to Janet Jackson Control, I know what I'm going to get. I already enjoy this. I've listened to it all this time. You know, I want to go back and listen to Heartbreak. Shout out to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
It's going
to
hit you the same time.
You know.
Same way.
But when I go or listen to Good Kid, Mad City, I know, like, this is going to, how it's going to make me feel. It's my comfort food, and I know that I don't have to, you know, adjust my palate or what I'm supposed to be expecting just to enjoy this particular piece of art. You know, it's, you know, in other situations now, when I sit up on, you know, Thursday night turns into Friday morning, and then all the new records come out.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I got to start sifting through things. And I do still find things that I really like. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah, I do,
that's
too.
That's the cool thing too. About still having that mindset to where I want to listen to as much as possible.
Yeah.
But then, like, I have to – sometimes I listen, I was like, man, this ain't it as far as, like, my personal taste or what I think is actually good. But then I'm like, oh, I got to get this in the playlist for Friday and Saturday night so I can at least see what the reaction is to it.
I tell you, I struggle sometimes as a creative listening to music because in your mind, you tend to, you don't go, you know, I never go into something thinking that I'm going to bite it or try to do it. But in your mind, when you listen to certain things that are popular, it's like, okay, your creative lens says, man, what happens if I go this way and try to do some stuff that's like this? Will it have, you know, a different type of effect? I don't know. But I used to struggle with that, but I got over that part. But I felt tired the other day. I was trying to listen to Catch Up to Joey Badass because I missed that album.
Mm-hmm.
Rapper Big Pooh dropped a project.
I want to listen to that.
Yeah. And I still
want to listen to that. Like I said, I'm so caught up listening to this for what I have to do. I don't get to listen to what I want to.
I missed Larry June, so I still had to get in.
Yeah,
I've been
peeping Larry June.
I wanted to get in there.
One thing to add, not to cut you off, it's almost like I go into listening to music with the anticipation that I'm not going to rock with it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when it does sound good, it's like, oh, okay, this is cool. I like this.
But I think that's just you being jaded from listening to so much bad music.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's kind of where I am too. Like I love it when I hear something and I'm like, oh wow, this is good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But it just so often it
just doesn't happen.
So let me ask this question. Pivot just a little bit.
Yeah.
With everything that we just talked about, it's like a depressing kind of conversation, right? But we're talking to people that have been in the music industry for 2 decades and stuff, like in a variety of capacities, right? Essentially.
Right.
So what can artists do? What can creatives do to actually make it easier for you to enjoy their music now, especially if like you don't know who they are? Like what's a good way that you can actually...
Don't emulate everything else that everybody else is doing.
Yes.
Is the number one thing.
Yes.
Just like that's what makes me excited about when I hear something that I know works. You know what I'm saying? But like, oh, this is different. This person is going to be something or do something. I mean, you went through that a whole lot as far as being ARs that weren't getting paid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Facts. We were able to sift through stuff and find the stuff that stuck to the wall. Yep. And that same stuff that we threw against the wall and stuck is still sticking today.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
So it's almost like you just have to be yourself. You can't try to be and sound like everything else that's out there. You have to just carve your own niche, stay in your lane. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, so be it.
I mean, with that also come, there's two sides of what Terry said, because I agree with him 100%. That's the one thing that perks my ears up. If it's something that is totally, you know, outside of what I'm accustomed to hearing or what people are trying to get me to listen to. Like when I hear something like that actually clicks, I'm like, yeah, okay, let's dive into the project and see where they're going. But
don't be too different though.
That's what I was about to say, because sometimes you can be too different. And
well, let me rephrase this question a little bit, because I liked your answer, but I think I'm more so talking about like, it's less about like what the artist is creating. Let's just assume that it's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's assume the music's good. How can somebody that makes good music, how can they get it to a population who is going to be more and more so like us in the future of being overwhelmed by stuff? Like, what's the best way that you can actually go about that?
I think it's on the back end. It's on the visual side, the creative side, I talk about the word content all the time, that side of it. Like being creative with the way that you release certain things, even though that you're already dope. Splashes, things that splash and you're consistent with it. I think that helps me come along with you and eases me into becoming a fan. Like if you're really consistent on that part, you already got the product.
So consistency, well, you have to use,
consistency is definitely one of them.
You have to use social media to your advantage,
right,
whether you like it or not.
Right.
Because unfortunately, that is the machine that's pushing things right now. If you get one song that turns into a viral hit on TikTok, then your catalog is wide open.
Yep.
What's his name? What's my guy that Kevin Gates?
Yeah,
he had a song that went viral on TikTok that's probably 7 years old. it got so much popularity that he put that song back on his new album because nobody heard it 7 years ago.
That's smart.
Yeah, very smart. It gained momentum. He's like, I'm going to use it to my advantage. I'm going to release it again.
Yeah, it's very
smart. So people need to use social media to their advantage. Not necessarily saying you have to have something that goes viral, but content is key. So you have to know how to use these apps and kind of navigate your music that way.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jay?
You know, I want to. I understand where you're coming from there, but then it's almost like, hey, that's an artist like Kevin Gates. Other than that, there's nothing you can do. Like
that's,
it's really,
that's the thing. That's
I don't. You know, it's. It sounds like, you know, I know that might be depressing to somebody who's an artist who's trying to get their music out there, but there's nothing you can do. Like, you just have to continue to make good music and hope somebody... Look, I tell people one of the cheat codes...
I agree with that.
...for DJs, even if you don't listen to the rest of Joe Budden's podcast, listen to Sleepers.
Yeah, that's a good segment.
If you get like, you know, especially on the R&B side, because that's basically all Joe Budden when he gets to play his Sleeper. All he plays is R&B.
You're right. Right.
You know, and... He'll give you something and be like, that's my favorite part of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, I will.
Diddy said R&B is dead and he couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking
about. Y'all see Chris Brown, did you see his response?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, he kind of aired him out low-key.
He said R&B is not dead, y'all just ugly.
Yeah, he low-key aired him out low-key.
But no, I mean, that's the thing. Like, at this point, there's no amount of attention-seeking thing that you can just do that might work. Somebody just grabbed that Kevin Gates song and put it on TikTok and made it into a trend.
And
but he had nothing to do with that.
He didn't have nothing to do with that.
After it already caught fire, that's when he was like, oh, well, I'll re-release the song. Like,
that's smart.
The conditions that were already happening outside of his control made him do something that not only was, you know, artistic, but actually, you know, something that deliverable, something that you could deliver as far as a product is concerned.
So I'm going to answer this question too, because I answered it because I actually had a statement to say. I feel like one of the answers is, we talked about a little earlier, it's artist positioning, and the modern day artist is different than the artist 5 years ago and 10 years ago. Ooh, it's not about sending music to blogs. It's not about, I still get emails to an email address that was never public that I discontinued in 2012, I still get email submissions. I got one today. And it has an automatic forwarder on there that says, hey, just so you know, this email has never been active, blah, 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 blah. Like, I still get emails to it.
Wow.
Dang.
I think there are still things you can do, though. So I don't want to be straight, like, you know, end of the world. I think the most important thing as an artist is to realize that as you're moving into the future, that content is key and is king as well. And so it's one of these things where you have to marry how you put product out with how you are putting your product out. But be super consistent. Find these platforms that, like TikTok or like Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts, which eventually you can monetize a YouTube account with, which is super cool. But find something, find content. It doesn't have to be old content. It doesn't have to be new content. It has to be content that is yours, that you enjoy, and find clever ways to, like, put that out over and over again until it runs
on their necks.
That's all you can do. I've seen people promote the same song over and over and over again for 5 months. And the thing is the way that a lot of the algorithms are, especially TikTok, it'll reach different people every single time. So it's like, you got to play the game of just throw as much stuff at the wall and eventually something will hit. And then maybe somebody like us sitting at the table, or people like us, or the fans that you want to find, will be like, oh, I like that. And they'll hit that follow button and then they'll be able to follow your other stuff. You know, I feel
and
like
share it with the people that they know.
Yeah. Right. I feel like you have to kind of have multiple ways. You have to have a way on the platforms that TikTok
is a new wave.
Yeah.
TikTok is a great platform to just throw stuff at the wall and try to get people to follow you. But I think at that point you have to be able to forward them somewhere. So once you grab and encapsulate those people, can you throw those people to your website, to your mailing list, to your YouTube account? Something that is just yours, to where you're not flooding all the time with the same thing. You know, like if you can put out the same single 19 times over two weeks or whatever, and you get people to go to your YouTube account and hit the subscribe button, And every time you drop something new, then they're going to check you out there. You just have to be super clever with it. You have to be on top of technology. You have to be in tune with the algorithms, or you have to have somebody on your team that does this. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to reach people where they are. You can't expect people to want to listen to your full-length album in 2022 if they don't know you.
Right.
And because it's hard enough to get people that already know these artists to listen to them, even if they like them. Yes. So it's like you have to give them short and sweet. You can put out full-length projects, but you have to market in a way that is like, you got to give them small doses.
You better have a 30 seconds that is very captivating.
Yep, absolutely. So that's my synopsis and my dissertation on that. And
thank you, Dr. Long. Yeah, Dr. Long. No, I feel you, man. You really hit it on the head with the, it's already hard enough to get people that you know.
Bro, we're all people in this room that want to listen to music.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. And it's at the point to where like we're like struggling to almost.
To where like, you, just like you said, the Joey Badass, I'm a Joey Badass fan.
For sure.
I was tired.
And I still haven't got to that record.
No, it felt like a chore for me to be like, okay, which one of these albums am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to it all the way through? What am I listening for? Can I just chill and listen to the project? It felt like a chore trying to track always, those three
albums down. It's a job to us essentially too, because we like to have content to talk about.
So a lot of
times I'm listening to certain albums just so that when Tuesday comes, we have something to talk about.
That's true.
And something to gauge. You know what I'm saying? Even if I skim it, I still have to kind of, you know, listen to it a little bit. But I am glossing over the things that aren't considered so popular that I'm probably more into or inclined to listen to based off trying to listen to more stuff that's going to spark a majority of the people's interest. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
I'm with that. I can dig that. Right. Long, you want to?
From the partners.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, shout out to the partners. As always, we appreciate you all.
Oh, shiggity.
You want me to start saying faux shiggity?
If you want to.
Okay, I mean, I can do that.
We're not bringing that back.
No diggity.
Shout out to the chat as well. My chat keeps connecting and disconnecting, so if you're still in here, we appreciate you. I saw some familiar faces in there, so hopefully you guys are still rocking with us.
I like talking about stuff like that. The segments never ever do well on any type of like platform. But
y'all was dropping game though.
I do think that stuff is super important. So hopefully somebody got something.
You know,
from
maybe when you know we have a contingent of artists who listen and watch, and maybe that'll be something that they gravitate to.
Somebody's gonna get a jewel from that. It's not gonna be.
This is for free, by the way. This is not even you don't
free game.
You're not even getting like the you're not getting the fee.
We should put that behind a paywall.
This is 100% free game. Be clear, this is free game. But hopefully somebody got it, and you know there was some plenty of jewels in there. So you know if you got it, drop us a comment. Let us know that you appreciate it. We definitely would appreciate that. Or just go back to the Eminem thing and or Kid Rock, talk about the game.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely do it for the numbers. Let's talk about racism and rap real quick.
That'll get you some views.
The Confederate flag. Plenty of black people like
that.
That's the
not
flag.
Racist. Learn the history. I know plenty of it.
Yeah. All you got to do, those are the triggers.
We're still getting comments on that, by the way.
I know it.
Yeah. We're still getting comments on the Kevin Samuels segment. Still getting views and likes, and people are like, it's just crazy how things just still.
Yeah.
There are segments where I'm like, oh, man, this is going to get them. Yeah.
And they don't. But then the random ones.
The free game.
It's crazy because this is the stuff that we was talking about in the past. What's the term? Type of content.
Evergreen
content.
Yeah.
Stuff that'll stick.
Careful.
Yeah, I see.
Apparently the free game won't stick too long, but
well, just like
Kid Rock sure will.
No, because remember when we talked about NFTs and and investing in the stock market.
Yeah.
And I joked and said this will probably be our least viewed segment. One of our least viewed segments.
There you go.
Yeah.
Forget all that other stuff about game and all that type of stuff. Talk about racism and rap. Yeah. That's what we want to hear from you guys.
And just controversial topics.
Yeah,
controversy. We want to hear what the white guy has.
I have to clear something up about 50 Cent in game.
Because they got on you last
year. Yeah, it's like,
it was on your head. I didn't even think that was like controversial.
I didn't think so either. I saw the replies. I was like, oh my goodness.
50 Cent has better content. He has more popular songs. He actually has a better career.
Much better.
Rap wise, Game is a better rapper.
Why do you say that?
Why? Because
I like to
lyrically, the way he structures his rhymes and things. 50 Cent is not a technical rhymer.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? He's more of a plain Jane rapper, so to speak. I don't know.
Great pen on the songs, though.
He writes hooks really well.
He writes hooks very well, and he writes hits very well.
Facts.
But somebody can be a better rapper than somebody and not necessarily be a better artist.
That's fair.
So I think people were misconstruing what I was saying. When you're talking about 50 Cent, his first two albums are very good. The third one is cool. And then after that, it's kind of like,
some joints here and there.
Some joints here and there, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But he learned how to get out here and get his coin elsewhere.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So he's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's super a smart. Great businessman.
100%.
But when it comes to rapping, Game kept rapping. That's all he does.
I'm not a fan of either of them, but it's not even like an argument to me. Game is a better rapper. Aside from like his name dropping, that is annoying.
Yeah.
That's
a better rapper.
That's his one fatal flaw is the name dropping. Like, I get sick. Be clear to what Terry said. Game is a dope rapper. I'm with that. But I get sick of the name dropping. Like, I'm so over the name dropping by now.
Yeah.
We talking about how many years of name dropping consistently?
Since he first came out.
All right, fair enough. I don't even remember when he came.
He just keeps adding names. He meets some new people and he adds their names.
Yeah, man.
He has people's names he's never even met, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I believe that too.
People who probably didn't even like him, I'm not going to steal
it. Yeah, don't do that.
Well,
yeah,
I
know where you was going.
I already went there. So yeah,
don't do that. Yeah, don't do that.
That's good.
But he can rap.
Yeah, we're not going to. Look. Game is a beast as far as rapping. Before we go any further, let's just clear that up.
Yeah.
But it's just some of the antics and other stuff where, like, you know, back to the last episode. You want to hear what we think about the Black Slim Shady or whatever that song is called that I'll never listen to again.
Yeah, leave Eminem alone.
I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Excuse me. Let's talk about Yeezy trash bags.
Oh, great.
You know what, Lone? I know you said, oh, great, but I think this is one of those.
I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Back to back.
This is one of those moments where I'm siding with Yeezus on this one. So he was being interviewed.
Why do you call him Yeezus, though? I'm a Kanye West fan. I will never call Kanye Yeezus.
That's what they be calling him sometime. Man, that album was trash, though.
Who is they?
Who is they?
They don't want you to win.
Thank you. God did. Okay. That's corny. Whatever, all right. Man. So Kanye was being...
Don't call that man Yeezus, man.
I'm sorry, man. Kanye West. Or what does he go by now?
Yeezus.
Yeezus.
Is he still Ye or no?
Yeezy. You can call him Yeezy, but
how about Kanye?
What's his name?
I'm going to just call him Buddy.
Well, hey, Buddy works.
His mama calling Kanye, I'm going to call him
Kanye.
Call him
Kanye. Okay. But he was being interviewed by Fox, and
of course,
one of the reporters was like, don't you think that half, because Kanye has all of his merch in this place, and it's huge. I'm talking about the trash bags that Daddy and them used to
he
use
got,
to
he
pick
got
up
the
leaves.
Big, he got the big bags.
Industrial boys.
That they have at, what's the Swedish furniture store?
There we go.
IKEA.
IKEA.
Yeah, he has big IKEA bags full of clothes.
And they're just sitting in sections in the store for the drop. And the reporter is like, some people are saying that this is disrespecting homeless people because you have...
Oh, my God.
you have black trash bags with your clothes. And Kanye... And to his defense, was like, man, this is the thing about, and I'm paraphrasing here, but this is the thing about creatives. Like, y'all try to limit us on what we can do. This is my product. I can do whatever I want. I'm a creative. It's my choice to put it out how I want to put it out. And y'all want to tell us that we're offending people, but it's my art. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not mad at that. That's a good.
What is artful about putting clothes in a trash bag?
No, no, it's not. It's not about the trash. It's not about the trash bag.
I mean, I agree.
I feel
with
what he's saying.
What he's saying, but not with the subject matter.
Well,
at hand.
You know, today in today's terms, everything is art.
Good point. Good point.
Literally everything,
everything is art.
Turns into art.
That was art. That was art. Call for art.
I planned it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Knees on the track.
It's a genius.
Man. Y'all see how long sneeze on the mic?
Did it in time too.
It's art. Yeah.
Right octave, perfect key.
But it's
beautiful.
Blown is two sides though. It's
I understand.
You
I
know
it.
What I mean?
I get
you,
it.
You get it. But there is nothing art in my opinion. There's nothing that just blows me away with
display.
Clothes
There's
in a big
clothing
trash
display.
Bag.
It's doing the minimum.
At Gap.
He's
it's
like, take
definitely
my
doing
off
the minimum.
Fingers.
But what it is, it's a
homeless clothes that cost $400.
It's ironic. It's ironic that you're throwing a whole bunch of clothes in bags like you're taking them to Goodwill.
Right.
And people just sort through them and find what they want. I mean,
I get it.
Yeah.
But how much do they cost?
They don't
probably
cost
expensive.
Probably.
I didn't check the prices.
It just seems like a grift to me. I don't know.
But you get what he was saying.
You ever been
right?
to like an Adidas or Logo 7 sale when they had the big company sale?
No.
That's how they sell the stuff to you.
I don't care.
It's
don't
literally
care,
in
care.
Big boxes.
Yeah.
It's full of
like
$200
warehouse.
Jerseys,
yeah.
But you're only paying $40 and $50 for
it's,
them.
It's just like a warehouse event or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's
or,
all it
or
is.
Or like a factory that's going out of business to
yep.
go and buy their stuff.
Essentially, that's exactly what it is.
We've been to
it's
some
not,
going out
it's
of business
not,
sales.
It's not cutting edge. The only thing about it is these are expensive garments, and the garment itself, the cloth, probably isn't very expensive, but the price tag is expensive, and it's just thrown into bins for people to sift through. But today's day and age, just like y'all said, that they're going to be with this FN Mecca.
Yeah.
They're with digging in trash bags to find clothes, too, because it's different.
And there's
it's provocative and gets the people going.
There's people like that will be there are people that in this era that will go to that will see that and think it's the illest thing that's ever come out. The fact that there's big trash bags and clothes that you have to dig through.
This is clout farming, essentially.
I mean,
clout
Missy
farming.
Started it.
I like
Missy
that.
Elliott pioneered like this back in 97.
With trash bags?
Yep.
There you go.
She did
because
she wore one, right?
And mm-hmm. that song was cold, too. Out to,
that's just can't
is
stand
that
the
it?
Rain.
Is
bitch.
That what it is? That was, I can't stand the rain.
She was all up in it with the trash bag,
yeah.
man.
With the
I'm over here invading Jay Moore's space.
Yeah, kind of.
The fisheye lens. Yeah.
All you had to say was beep beep. Who got the keys to the Jeep?
But she was all up in the videos. I mean, you couldn't see the trash bags. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, anyway, man, with this is I saw it. I was like, job, Kanye. I feel you from an artist standpoint.
Yeah, I just want him to wear some clothes that are true to the season because he lives in Calabasas, California, I guess, and still walks around and
looking homeless
in muck boots and
hoodies,
a big Carhartt jacket,
like he's waiting for the Wyoming gush like geysers to
something.
And stuff.
Like, why are you walking around hot all day?
You got out here looking like he's about to work at a lighthouse or something.
Man, why is he walking around hot all day?
I know
day
what you
long?
Did last summer.
Yeah,
come on,
but
man.
Look, this is the thing. If you're going to be a creative, I don't care what realm you're in, uh-huh. whether it be us doing a podcast, Kanye West making music, or boots, or whatever he's doing.
He said boots.
You know, once you get into the creative space, you have to understand that you're going to weather a certain level of criticism.
Yep.
You know, and if you think you're going to create with no criticism, then you are not actually creating anything that's worth mentioning, because the best creative works have been criticized.
Let me ask you this, Jay Moore, just to bring it back full circle. How do you feel on the actual comment of the guy trying to say there are some people that are saying you are disrespecting or making fun of or however you want to spin it of homeless people? Do you think that was a fair thing to say to him?
That's not
it's
a fair thing.
Stuff.
All right, okay.
You know, that's not a fair thing to say to him.
Okay,
like I can say what you are doing, you Kanye West, is tacky and misguided. You know, but that doesn't have. I would not say he's doing anything to disrespect those of you who are on your insecure with your homing, your home situations.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, I don't want to go there with it.
It's liberal stuff. It's just like trying to get a point off.
Yeah, just like we said before about like when you're offended for people who have real problems.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's like, no, sure, man, like, you
nobody
know,
cares.
Homeless
man.
People have real problems. Why don't you go actually talk to them
and
see what they need
bags.
Instead of saying, oh, what Kanye West is doing is disrespectful to homeless people.
What are you doing to address the housing crisis?
Yeah, what are you doing to address the fact that, like, you know, in New York, you have to make 40 times what your rent is to be eligible for an apartment.
No homeless person cares about trash bags at Kanye.
And you know what I'm doing? I'm going to grill Kanye West about the possibility of upsetting homeless people. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, that's going to be my activism instead of actual, you know,
activism.
Change. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
goofy.
You know, that's you know, people want to be offended on people's behalf. And
that's
never,
so whack.
It's so whack.
Shout out to Kanye for standing. Well, he always going to say what he want to say, but I felt him on that. Like, he's 100%.
But, you know, once again, he thinks he should be above criticism because he's a free thinker. And I'm like, no. You know, your free thinking is what leads you into being criticized, and you have to understand that comes with part of the game.
I literally just seen a billboard today, and the guy's political statement was, "I'm a free thinker."
Good for him.
What'd you say?
Who does not?
I'm a free thinker.
Notice people who free think always get their ideas from somewhere else.
Yeah. Talk to them.
Free thinking.
But that's fine.
We're all influences of everything that's around us.
Yeah.
Around us anyways.
And I believe we all think freely.
We do.
I don't understand why people think you have to be part of this segment of enlightened people that we all think the same, but we call each other free thinkers.
But
you literally think the same as this group of people.
But I'll take it a step further. What makes that a good thing?
It doesn't.
Like, what makes the fact that, okay, so you can think for yourself, so does that mean that you don't have any research to back up anything that you're saying because you want to think it all up in your mind?
Yeah.
Like, this, what are we talking about?
Write stories.
It's like, yeah, you know, I don't actually read books.
Right.
Or anything like that, or listen to people who are more learned of a certain perspective and a certain idea than I am.
But I'm a free thinker,
so that makes me somehow better.
The bare minimum.
And smarter than you because
I don't get my
information from books.
Yeah, I don't get my information from
smart people
or
experts.
I don't conform to fact.
Facts.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
That's why we burn books
over
here.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah.
Because it's malarkey because I say so. I'm a free thinker.
Information.
Up your butt, Joe.
We got one producer. Can we get one producer in before we get out of here, Long?
Yeah, why not? I think we spent enough time.
So I think the homie Ill Mind is up on the I'm gonna say Earl Brown. Shout out to the homie. Ill Mind is up on the chopping block tonight. One of my personal favorites, actually. His is a little different.
He got some 50 Cent joints, don't he?
Yeah, he got some. I'm gonna try to go through quickly here what we have. His production discography is kind of spread out all over the place, but I'm going to try to, you know, make sense of it. Let's see. Well, he has 50. He's got
Live from Take That
with Sky Zoo was cold. Joel Ortiz. I know he's been with Ludacris.
Luda.
thank you. Ludacris.
Scarface. J. Cole.
Forest Hills Drive. Your Love.
Drake.
Dope record. Drake.
He's got a lot of records.
G-Unit.
Luda,
even old school, like some of the Strange Fruit.
He's been active since what, 03?
About 03, yeah.
He was almost 20 years.
He was working on early Little Brother stuff.
Nice.
Early,
yeah.
Yep. A lot of the mixtapes. He had a lot of stuff on their mixtapes. Let's see. Who am I missing? This lot. See, now those names are starting to pop up.
Big Pooh,
Little Brother, Helter Skelter. Yep.
KRS-One
and Buckshot. Let's see. He's got some Nipsey, I believe. Does he have any Nipsey?
I don't know about that.
Let me.
He's all over the place though. And one thing I will say about Illmind is he actually is still at it, working with younger producers and working with younger artists and stuff like that.
He was actually one of the first people that started making and selling the beat kits. Yeah.
Yep. One of the OGs of that.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to influence,
huge.
Yeah, he's super. Yeah. Big on
I mean, he's got some credits on. Illmind's got some credits with Kanye.
Yeah, that's right. He did. He was in some of the My Dark Twisted Fantasy sessions.
He's in there, and I think he's on one of the two Donda albums too.
Maybe I'm thinking of S1. But,
no, S1 was, you're thinking of both of them. Because I know S1 did Murder to Excellence on.
That's right.
Watch the Throne. But Illmind is in. He has Kanye credits as well.
Kanye to the.
So this dude is all over the place, man.
Yeah.
All right.
America.
We all are pretty much, we're pretty familiar with Illmind, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty hip to him.
Great guy.
He's good.
He actually is pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I met him a couple times.
I met him one time in New York, and he was real cool. All right, man. Long, you want to start the tallies?
Yeah.
And I'll start the reading?
Sounds good.
All right, so influence, impact on peers and upcoming producers.
9.
I think this is high. I agree with Terry. I'm going to go 9.
8.
I'm also going to go 9.
How versatile are his hip-hop records? He is very versatile.
I'm going to say 8.
I'll give him an 8 there as well.
8. I'm not mad at 8. He's very versatile.
I'm going to go 9.
Yeah, he's tough.
He's super versatile.
Different hip-hop styles and artists, the producers, producer works. I'm sorry. So under the collaborations tab, we listed.
I got to go 9 again.
Yeah.
Actually,
I'm going to go.
Go ahead and give him that 10, Long. Give him that 10.
Collaborate. He definitely has a vast.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to give him 9.
Yeah, I give
him
9.
I'm cool at 9. Long is between 9 and 10. I can see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
He wants to do a 10. I'm at a 9.
I'm at a 9.
Go ahead and do it, bro.
I'm just trying to think if there's anybody. It's got to be 10. And the reason why I say this is because he collaborates with nobodies.
True.
And that's not a shot.
No, I understand what you're
saying. He collaborates with people that have no name whatsoever, and he's also on records with the biggest artists in the world.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
So, true. Good point.
And the underground in between. So
I ain't mad at your 10.
And his influence is, and I'll say real quick, his influence is interesting. It's a little bit different than other producers because he has a direct impact on the actual producers.
Exactly. Like every producer.
I literally own Illmind drum packs. I don't know anybody that doesn't own some. So.
And I continuously look to see when he might drop something else. I'm always looking to see.
For sure.
Yeah. So I'm with that, Long. Not mad at that at all. Big hits, cult classics from the producer. Cult classics is high.
What did you put as his cult classics?
The joint with Sky Zoo live from the tape deck. That's mm-hmm. I'd put that as a cult classic.
Can you name a record off that album?
It's a good album, but I don't know exactly what he produced on it.
Speakers on Blast is the biggest one.
Speakers on Blast.
Okay.
Yeah, that.
I'm still going to go 7.
Yeah, I think.
He's got joints with, I don't know, man. He's. It's a lot of underground heat from him that's I would consider.
I'm going to go 6.
In the cult lane, but.
6. I'm going to go 7.
I like 8. I'm going to go 8.
All right.
Consistency of quality material release.
Go 8.
9.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 9. He rarely. I don't know if he rarely misses if from what I've heard. Anything I've heard from Illmind slaps. From what I've heard, and yeah. That's including whole projects or
one offs. I do 8 on.
He nice. Body of work. How great is their overall body of work?
Say 8.
8.
I think 8 is respectable.
Where I'm gonna go as well.
How often are the songs great from their beats?
8 again.
I'll go 7.
7.
I like 7. Melodic elements used, samples or original. Man, if I'm gonna keep it a buck,
he's super versatile, man.
Man,
yeah, he is.
I'm not gonna hold y'all.
I'm gonna give him an 8.
I'm going
9. You know what? Scratch that. I'm going 10. I'm going 10.
Yeah, I'm 9 or 10. I might do 9.3.
I'm going 10 on this one. How great is the producer's drum programming?
I'll give him 9.
9. Yeah. 9. Yeah. I'll give him that.
His drums are dope. Definitely a 9. It's a 9 or a 10.
Yeah, I'll do 9.
Yeah, it's a 9 or a 10. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an 8.3.
Okay.
Illmind.
Hey, Illmind is nice.
He is
tied with Kool & Dre.
Yep.
One below Boy Wonder.
Yep. I think it's rightfully so too. I think we did good with this one. He's nice.
I mean, I know his discog so well too. So.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shout out to Illmind. Nowhere near a hog tie.
Mm-mm.
That's what's
didn't
up.
Expect it to be.
No, didn't no, expect no, it no. to Come be at now. All. Underground Kings was my mug though. That right there.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, UGK for life is probably they.
Do you think that's
their most commercially successful album? Ryan Dirty wasn't too far behind.
Swishes and Doja though. That right there.
International Players Anthem. Well, that was DJ Pollen. Just
yeah. But that Swishes and Doja. Man.
Wrong plated woman.
Well, let's do,
I'm with you, Long.
Let's do influence then.
Game belongs to me.
Man.
I got Bobby by the pound, Whitney by the key.
Sorry.
Here's a new submission.
Oh, we got some? Okay.
Bringing down the band.
Sorry. All right. All right. Influence, impact on peers and upcoming producers.
I'm
10
for
me.
Influence.
I'm going 10.
7.
Oh, Jay Moore being stingy.
I am not.
I'm going 10.
I'll do 7 as well.
All right. Versatility. How versatile are the hip hop records? Terry was right.
I'm going to give him a 5.
Yeah, I'm with a 5. Yeah, I'll take a 5.
Man. I'll give him the 4 that y'all was talking about.
Yeah.
Reason why I'm giving him a 5 because for him to be on this list,
yeah,
he got to be a little above average.
Yeah.
Not in every category necessarily, though.
Or right at average. I
mean, if he's only done mostly UGK and certain specific underground artists, I might have to lean towards a 4.
It probably really is a 4, honestly. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and change mine to a 4 because I did say I was going to give him a 4.
That's what you said.
Well, hell, y'all didn't talk me into it. Now we go 4s down the board.
All right, then I'll go 3. Just kidding.
All right, collaborators, different hip-hop styles of artists to producers' works.
I gave him a 5 for that.
Yeah, he's limited there. 5 is cool.
That works. Hit-making. Big hits, cult classics.
He got some cult classics
8.
Now.
Yeah, I'd definitely give him an 8. I'd give him an 8.5, actually.
Oh, I like the 0.5. I'm going to go 8.55.
So,
I'm going to go 8.025.
Okay. Consistency of quality material released.
I'll give him a 7.
Yeah. It was quality when he was behind it. I like 7.
Yeah, 7 is solid.
Yeah, I ain't mad at that. What you got, Long?
I'll just rock with you guys on that one.
All right, cool. How great is your overall body of work? Now, as a producer, he's limited. You know, UGK, that's a little something different.
Yeah.
But as a producer,
he's pretty much just the UGK house producer for the most part.
True.
Then when we're talking about body of work,
I'll
UGK,
give him a 7. I'll give him a
UGK,
7.
UGK, their albums are good. So if we're just basing it off of those.
It's kind of the same vibe.
I'm going to give it a 7.
It's kind of the same vibe of Beats by the Pound, but it's just.
Not really, because it's not as much material.
That part, I agree with that, but I'm just saying from an in-house standpoint, like he was lacing them UGK albums. I'll take a 6. I'll take a 6.
6.1.
How often,
Price is Right.
How often are the songs great from their beats? Final product.
I'm going to give him an 8.
I'll give him a 7 again.
I'm going with 7 with Jay Moore.
Okay.
I actually give it a 7 because I want to give another thing an 8.
Okay.
Right. I'm going.
You can do both.
I can, but I don't want to because based off of what's left over.
Gotcha.
And weren't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So melodic.
Yeah.
I'll give him an 8 there.
Pimp C played a lot of the stuff that was on those records, two keys, you know, the guitar, all that type of stuff. So he really was nice with it. I'll take an 8. Yeah, I'll take
that. That matters.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there for the
I know it matters to you.
For the churn. I'm just throwing it out there for the churn.
I know it matters to you.
It definitely does.
Do a 7.5.
Oh.
I'll do a 7.
Okay. Yep. Now, the drums, man, nothing to be desired for me.
But they have their sound, right?
Yeah, he has a sound, but.
I gave him a 7 for that, actually.
I'll go 6 on the drum. Yeah.
He has some deep 808s on some
true.
Shits.
True.
Excellent.
Some stuffs.
on some stuffs.
Yeah.
So Pimp C comes in at a 6.7. So
better than Warren G.
Respectable.
See, y'all go with Warren G.
I'm just saying.
Warren G's 6.7. I mean, to be honest, they're all respectable for the most part.
Yeah, we only got a couple hog ties. All right, man. Let's y'all want to go ahead and we'll go ahead and wrap up.
Let's
go ahead and get up out of here.
Well, you know, as always, we appreciate the supporters. NewOldHeads.com, all the education you need this year from us. If you see it and it has new old heads on it, sign up for it, subscribe for it, whatever for it. We appreciate the support as always. Shout out to the chat as well, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
So long.